Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That is going, JQ. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready? America.
Yes, sir, let's get it.
Here we go. Party started. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
12 Men Sports is officially on the air. Today is Monday, as always, December the 14th. We are ready to talk some sports. I got my fellas in here. They're ready to go. They would always be finishing in the top in the Heisman, if you will. Let's kick it off first and foremost with my man, Mr. JQ, Jaquan. How you feeling this evening, sir? You got the pose, too?
Man.
Rob's got the pose. Oh, Rob is ready. JQ, let's kick it off with you. You ready? So how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, I'm good. I'm trying to get over my, like we talked about, my man Andy Dalton. And I actually was in Charlotte for that wipeout that was the Panthers and the Falcons. So I'm trying to flush that from my memory bank.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, man, I have some fam there, too.
Just heard that Matt Ryan got booed at the Hawks game tonight, too, man, if y'all can believe that.
Dude, I can. I was there when Andy Dalton got booed at the All-Star game. At the softball game,
right there.
Ooh, mercy.
Yeah, I know the conversation right there. Yeah, we'll talk about that possibly later on. My other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, he said he's got the Heisman pose. Rob Ford, how you feel this evening, sir?
Yeah, it just comes natural to me, man. Boom.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, having a great day, man. No complaints. Glad to be talking sports with you guys.
What an awesome day, as always, man. The crew is ready. Let's kick it off really quickly. If you want to call into the show, you guys know the numbers. But if you didn't, once again, 424-243-9519. That is the call-in number. We are on Twitter. If you go to the number, if you follow this handle at the number 12, THMAN Sports, that is 12 Man Sports, that is us. And then finally, Facebook.com, put in /12ManSports or Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this off. We got a lot of topics to get to. Robert Ford was pretty judicious with the bowl game, so we're going to try to save some time for that. But right off the cuff, obviously the Bengals and the Seahawks are going to take some hits. I'm going to start off with my man JQ with the Bengals. Rob, you're going to be kicking it next to the Seahawks. So, I know you said, JQ, you're kind of getting over this. You never miss up until it's gone. At first, we're kind of booing Andy Dalton, but now, yeah, what's the state of the Bengals right now in its current state with A.J. McCarron, JQ?
Yeah, I just want to touch on that play, and that's what frustrates us as Bengals fans, because if you look at the whole play, it was a terrible decision to try to force that ball to Giovanni Bernard, and I really think that he was trying to throw it away, but he lazily threw it away and got picked off and had to make the tackle. So if he doesn't make that bonehead play, he doesn't get hurt. So not only is it a mistake in the short term, it's a mistake in the long term, and he's probably done at least until the playoffs. He's got a fractured thumb on his throwing hand. I'm not going to have a lot of confidence in that. But I will be honest, I was part of the A.J. McCarron training and spring training. I was hoping that he was going to win the job. So I don't think all hope is lost, but they still have to win one more game to guarantee themselves the division and getting in the playoffs, given how well the rest of the AFC and that behind them is playing in the wild card. But I think they still have a chance. I think they got to get AJ up to speed, but you can't coach Moxie, and he has that it factor. He's a back-to-back college national champion at Alabama, so he's not, you know, some podunk quarterback they pulled out of Hicksville. He's a good quarterback, and he knows how to lead a team. So hopefully they can move forward. I know that's a half-full kind of viewpoint on it. He made some bad decisions against Pittsburgh, but he made a really good throw to AJ for 72 yards on that touchdown pass. So give him a four-week of practice. Hugh Jackson said he's already – chomping at the bit to get into the playbook and for the play sheet for next week at San Francisco. And like you said, Alex, they play San Francisco, Denver, and Baltimore. So if they get one of those, they can get in the playoffs, but I think it's probably unrealistic to try to get a playoff spot at this point.
Rob Ford, so is JQ a little, you know, is he looking at it through Bengals colored glasses, or what's just what state of what's your kind of your outside looking in perspective about this, sir?
Well, I think, you know, the good thing for them is, I think for Cincinnati, I think you got to look at New England is definitely going to get in that number one seed. I think what you want to do is to try to, as much as possible, hold off Denver and keep that second round bye. I'm sorry, you know, getting that first round bye and keeping that number two seed. That's going to be the key. The good thing is Denver goes at Pittsburgh this weekend, and I expect Pittsburgh to beat Denver. So that, you know, could help Cincinnati as well here. So I think, you know, if you can win two out of these last three games with A.J. McCarron, secure that first round bye, and then you get Andy Dalton back for the playoffs. And I think if you can play a ball control offense, and Cincinnati most of the season has been playing very good on the defensive side of the ball until they met Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh offense is right now is hot right now. I think it's like the fourth or fifth straight game Pittsburgh scored 30 or more points. So that's a hot offense right now. But I think if Cincinnati can play some ball control, I haven't had a chance to check the schedule. Who the Bengals play this week?
They're at San Francisco, then they go to Denver, and they finish up with Baltimore.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, they'll win two out of those three. The key is going to be, you know, that Denver game, obviously. I think that's going to be a tough one to win. So they're going to need Denver to lose at least two of these games here because I think it's going to be tough for them to go on the road and beat Denver.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Eifert with the concussion issue, too. I mean, that's cause for concern as well. For the Bengals, one of the top weapons here with the concussion protocol. So I know he may be questionable going into this week as well, but they'll beat the 49ers regardless.
They should. Wow, this mofo is wide open. Come on.
Just like that, JQ. Sorry about that, bro.
Oh, wow.
Odell Beckham just scored, and he's doing – He did the Ray Lewis on y'all.
Did I say 84 yards? Yeah, I lose. Wow.
Yeah. This is live fantasy, America. That's what
my bad. My bad.
It's all good. We keep it real. Let's kick it in. I was expecting JQ to speak more about that, but I guess we'll keep it under wraps here. Good synopsis. Robs, let's kind of kick it on to as far as the Seahawks. Anything new to report about how the injuries? I'm very curious, guys, about the playoff picture. There's going to be a lot of different interests that have happened. Man, he was wide open, JQ. Rob, kind of kick it in there, sir, as far as the Seahawks and what's happening right now with them. And Marshawn
Lynch.
Well,
you look at the Seahawks
right now. And T. Rawls, Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Thomas Rawls and Marshawn Lynch. I mean, they're hurting at the running back position, but Russell Wilson has been on fire here the last 4 weeks. I think 16 touchdowns, no INTs here in the last 4 to 5 games. Unbelievable. Had 5 touchdown passes this past weekend. Doug Baldwin is catching fire as well at the receiver position. So you're down your top two running backs, Marshawn Lynch, Thomas Rawls, Jimmy Graham also out for the season. But so far they haven't missed a beat. I know they're looking at some running backs this week, so it'll be interesting to see who they can bring in. But it looked like they've kind of converted into more of a pass offense now here with Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin. Especially now since they have some injury issues at the running back position. But hopefully, you know, they'll be able to find a running back on the market that can come in and help them. And they're a hot football team right now. I think they're one of two teams that can possibly beat Carolina in the playoffs.
Interesting. Gentlemen, I'll let you jump in there, JQ. I was just going to say, too, Rob, I think this is a great opportunity for Russell Wilson now to kind of prove himself, gentlemen. Because before it's always been like, well, you're just a game manager, made just enough plays, and now that the offense has kind of shifted, as you said, Rob, this is a great opportunity for Russell to kind of prove himself. We'll see those running backs can get up to speed, but this is a great opportunity, as mentioned, to see Russell kind of grow. JQ, what are your thoughts about what's happening with the Seahawks right now, sir?
Yeah, and I like the fact that they have a good vet in Fred Jackson back there. And, you know, to prime him up for a couple, you know, two or three game run so you can get Lynch back hopefully for the playoffs, I still think benefits them. And the way that Russell Wilson is playing, and I think when they traded for Jimmy Graham, that's what they wanted to get to. And he didn't do exactly what they thought was going to happen. It took him a little while to get indoctrinated into, you know, the Seattle way, so to speak, and then he got hurt. But I think you saw this point into, we're going to go away from Marshawn Lynch. He's probably not going to be here too much longer. Let's put the Russell Wilson, we're paying him, so we got to go ahead and let him carry us. And like you talked about with Lockett and Baldwin and Kearse, they've got some young wide receivers starting to emerge. And I like Miller tight end as well. So, you know, again, it's one of those teams like Pittsburgh, you don't necessarily want to play as a fifth or sixth seed in the playoffs coming to your stadium because they're going to bring that championship experience with them. So I think Seattle is okay. That's the one guy, even though he was playing good ball, them having Fred Jackson as an insurance policy, I think kind of saves them.
Excellent calls, gentlemen. All right, let's kind of set the stage for the playoff picture. This is now an interesting thing. If I can kind of set the stage, Rob, you always do a great job. I'm going to kick it to you, Rob. There's been some interesting things that are happening. Earlier in the season, we would have thought that it had been a runaway train with Denver. They've kind of taken some hits here. Brock Osweiler taking over. Peyton Manning may be coming back. We'll talk about that. I kind of set the stage right now. I think that it's definitely Carolina's going to do their thing. And maybe a rematch Super Bowl-wise between Carolina and the Patriots. But right now, you got to look at kind of that seed as far as, you know, Pittsburgh's going to be up there. I like Pittsburgh out, and I like, obviously, the Patriots. We'll see about that. Denver, obviously. And then also NFC, you got to like the Cardinals, and you got to like the Panthers coming out of that, too. But I'm a little jumping ahead. Robert, I want you to kind of set the playoff picture as we speak here, sir.
Yeah, if you look at the AFC right now, New England holding down the number one seed at 11-2. The Bengals, the number two seed, 10-3. Denver, third seed, 10-3. Indy, still holding the four seed at 6-7. I'm going to tell you something. Watch this Jacksonville team. I think they're playing as good as anybody in that division. And they could surpass Houston and Indianapolis and take that AFC South. Blake Bortles is finally turning the corner as a quarterback. So I would, you know, Jacksonville may win that division at like 7-9 or something like that in the AFC South. Kansas City, number five seed at 8-5. The Jets, 8-5. And the Steelers are still on the outside looking at number seven at 8-5. If you look at the AFC, if the Steelers can get in, I think they might be the one team that could possibly dethrone New England. Even though they're like number seven right now, I think it's going to be tough for Denver with Osweiler. Even though they already beat them once, that was in Denver. And the Bengals have still got to see what Andy Dalton's situation is going to be like. So the Steelers could be that one team, you know, that could get hot and possibly take New England out. You look at the NFC, Carolina 13-0. Number one, Arizona, 11-2. Number two, the third seed, Green Bay, at 9-4. Washington holding out number four spot at 6-7. The Giants may be in a three-way tie with them with a win tonight. And Seattle, number five, at 8-5. Minnesota, also 8-5, at number six. And you look at the NFC, if you think two teams that could possibly beat Carolina, Arizona and Seattle are the only two people I think could possibly upset them.
Wow. All right, Mr. JQ, what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Not too much to add to that, and I agree. And if you go back to what we talked about in the preseason, before the season got started, is I thought Pittsburgh would be dangerous and get one of those wild card runs. So I'm looking pretty proficient in that one. And I think it kind of had a little bit of separation Sunday in the AFC as well. You got a lot of teams sitting there like Oakland, Buffalo, I believe, at 6-7, that kind of falling behind the pack. Those 8-5 teams, but you know, Pittsburgh wins out, I think, and everybody else wins out in New York and Kansas City. Pittsburgh wins the tiebreaker, and they'll be back in. So, you know, it's going to take somebody getting hot, both of those teams to get hot, to stay in and keep Pittsburgh out. And the same thing in NFC, I think you've got what you're pretty much going to get. I think Green Bay is going to end up winning that division, and nobody wants to see Seattle. Nobody wants to see Seattle in that playoff because they're peaking at the right time, like we just talked about. So, we'll see what happens.
Nice. You know what's interesting about that NFC playoff picture? You look at that 4-5 matchup. If the season ends today, Washington will be hosting Seattle. I know Seattle have to travel across the country to play them, but I just can't see the Redskins beating that Seattle team. And if Arizona, if Green Bay beats Minnesota, which I do expect, Carolina will be playing Seattle in their first playoff game. What a matchup.
Wow.
And
gentlemen,
a scary
it's going to
matchup,
be interesting.
Carolina.
Yeah, scary and interesting at the same time.
Good
but
call.
I think it's gonna be a good playoff, guys. This is we're kind of predicting this, and I got to give you props, Robert, because you called Carolina to kind of win the division. I thought everything was crazy, but they are on fire. So we'll hold on the conversation too, and you know, I'm not too happy about everything, but we'll let me kind of like get over that, gentlemen.
Well, I thought if you go back to the preseason, I thought the difference was going to be Carolina's defense, and
yeah.
You can see the Saints are still struggling defensively. Atlanta has gotten better, but Atlanta's offense has gotten to slump all of a sudden. And,
unbelievable.
And so, I mean, that was the difference, you know, the way I looked at it in the preseason. Cam Newton is having an MVP season, too.
Easily. And if you would have told me that Jameis Winston didn't – I would have pegged him for having, like, 20-something interceptions. He's not on that path. So, Jameis has been playing well, too. Yeah.
I told you.
Good call. Yeah, what'd you say, JQ? We were thinking how awesome JQ – what were you saying?
I told you early on that the Bucks were going to be one of those 7-9, 8-8 teams. They were going to look up and be in a lot of shootouts and win more than you thought they would and be in the thick of it at the end. And, I mean, they didn't beat New Orleans, but, I mean, you know, they're still a lot further along, like you said, than any of us had them.
That's a great call, too. So props to JQ for calling that, too, as well. I mean, like I said, we figured that, you know, first-time QBs are going to go through a couple of struggles because, as you know, whenever you kind of throw in one of the greatest at the time, Peyton Manning, and how he had like 25 interceptions in his first start. So Jameis is actually doing a lot better than expected too. So, you know, like I said, has the intangibles, and we'll see if this is going to be a pretty interesting division for the NFC South here. All right, guys, let's kind of keep moving. We've got 13 minutes here. Let's talk about a couple of injuries. Ravens' Chris Canty is out for the season with that torn pec, and Andrew Luck vows to play again despite that lacerated kidney. And let's kick it off, I guess. I don't know if you want to talk about this really quickly, JQ, about Chris Canty.
Not really, because, I mean, he's a good player, but the Ravens weren't going anywhere. So, I mean, it's just another in the ledger of ridiculous injuries they suffered as a ball club. And, but as a Bengals fan, I don't really – have a whole lot of love for the Baltimore
sympathy
Ravens.
For them.
So, yeah, no sympathy for them. So, but you want to beat them at their best, and they just have suffered so many injuries. It's been pretty bad. So, but you know that they'll regroup. They've got a good organization. They'll regroup. And Andrew Luck, I mean, they have somewhat of a little bit of a time only because that division, like Rob said, could be 1-7-9, maybe 8-8. But I don't think he plays this week. I think that was always, you know, rose-colored glasses for them on him playing this week. So. We'll see about that, but I think Indianapolis can recover better than, of course, Baltimore can.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, as JQ mentioned, the Ravens have gotten beat up all season long with injuries. Obviously, it's just adding on to what they've dealt with all season with the Chris Canty situation. They had Andrew Luck with Matt Hasselbeck getting hurt with a rib injury. He's doubtful or questionable for this coming weekend, so it's going to be interesting to see who play quarterback for the Colts this coming weekend. And like I said, the Jacksonville Jaguars are knocking on the door. They put 51 up this past weekend. Blake Bortles has finally turned the corner. Well, it's the second year in the league, so he's turned the corner as a quarterback. He's starting to put up some big numbers. And quietly, they're playing, in my opinion, the best football in the AFC South. If they can somehow surpass, they only game back behind Houston and the Colts. So look out for them as possibly being that team to win the AFC South, too. And so the Colts, they won't have any chance at this. They're going to have to get Luck back pretty quickly.
Go ahead and talk about, really quickly, Rob, about the Packers re-signing Mike Daniels, that $42 million extension there.
Well, this is a quality move for the Packers. Daniels has been playing phenomenal. You're talking about a guy who was a fourth-round pick out of Iowa. Most draft scouts, including myself, thought he was very undersized. He gets it done with a little bit of willpower. And the guy plays with great effort. And Green Bay has been pretty solid defensively this season. He's been a big part of it.
JQ, anything you want to add to that?
No, I'll let him go ahead and ride with that.
He's like, right. Let's talk about the Raiders, man. Khalil Mack, 5 sacks, gentlemen. And like you said, you talk about a gentleman just taking over. he almost single-handedly kind of beats the Broncos. Raiders, JQ, who knew? Any comments on this?
You knew because you were right there. When my pick was the Buccaneers, yours was the Raiders. He's just a man child. And you have to give McKenzie a lot of credit for some of the draft that he's done with him and with Amari Cooper and with Derek Carr. And, you know, some of the signings, Crabtree's a big signing as well. So I think the Raiders are not that far off. I think they need a couple more pieces on defense, slow teams down, especially in the run game. But, yeah, Khalil Mack is just a man child, and he's helping the Raiders on that slope. They're not there yet this year, but they got more respectable. You can't just put Oakland as a win anymore. And if they get another good draft class and get a good progression out of the young players they got now, I see good things for the Raiders in the future.
Good call, JQ. Yeah. Like you said, Rob, I mean, they used to be the laughingstock of the league, and now, you know, like you said, they're a couple of moves from being up there, and it's good for the it's good to see the Raiders do well, guys. But, Rob, anything else you want to add to this as well?
Well, yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, he had a great game. I mean, he was unblockable. You know, it pretty much showed you in that game. I mean, he was pretty much beating the right tackle of the Denver Broncos entire game, so that was ridiculous. And, yeah, I mean, he got a force of safety in the game, a big impact on the game, and he's definitely a player to watch going forward, as well as his Raiders team, just like you all mentioned.
Rob already talked about this Denver at Pittsburgh. This is a game at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been hot. They're going into a pretty good defense in Denver, but that wild card is definitely at QB at the Brock Osweiler. I admit I thought that he was going to have some challenges with New England, but he overcame that. What's going to happen? Is it going to be a different outcome, Rob, you think, with Pittsburgh here or what?
I like Pittsburgh at home in this game. I think Denver, of course, is playing outstanding defense, but Pittsburgh has been, I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, the fourth or fifth straight game where they've scored over 30-something points. Their offense is fun to watch, and they're on fire right now. I like them at home over Denver. I don't think Denver is going to be able to put up the points to match Pittsburgh in this game. I just think Pittsburgh is going to win at home.
JQ, what are your thoughts about that?
All of that. You got basically not. He's not a rookie, but I mean, if his first extended time playing, going into Pittsburgh, where they know they pretty much have to win out. I think they're focused, and I hate them, but I think Pittsburgh wins that game.
Good call, good call. All right, let's kind of kick it off. Mr. Rob, let's throw it off with some fantasy shout-outs, sir.
All right, fantasy shout-outs. We are in the playoffs here. I know we got some matchups still taking place with this game still in effect. So I'm going to recap Week 13 here real quick since the playoff matches are still going on. So last week, league number one, the biggest winner of the week was our fellow co-host, the Ohio Players.
Yes, sir.
Beat Eagles Chicks for Life, 171.96 to 121.18. You're not supposed to beat women like that, man. Come on, man. That's cold-blooded.
My bad.
Come on, thank you.
My bad, boss.
Number one, the Bristol Bombers. Of course, he's got a bye here in his first week of playoffs in first place. Bristol Bombers from Bristol, Connecticut, of course. And league number two, the biggest win of the week, Fleur de Lis. That's Matthew from Indianapolis, 154.34 over the EP 40 Miners, 107.26. In first place in that league, also our co-host, the Ohio Players, 10-3 on a bye this week in the first round of the playoffs in that league. And league number three, the biggest winner of the week last week was winning Aaron, also from Bristol, Connecticut, in first place as well. Had a 160.14 win over our co-host.
Cheating.
Andre, cheating. Not Rise Up Felks, 86.32. Man, you took a beating just like the Panthers put on the Falcons, huh? I think they're going to have to get rid of that Rise Up thing.
I want to talk about this, man. I got to say, man, I'm upset, man, because certain things didn't play out the way it's supposed to play out, man. I'm just saying, man. I got to blame my players.
They're going to have to get rid of that Rise Up stand.
It's not good, man. Have your fun, man. Have your fun. I'm coming back with the vengeance.
And in
man.
Fantasy basketball, man, Ohio Players, man, you all over the place, man. The biggest fantasy basketball week, too. 8-0 over Madhouse on Madison.
We do.
Shut them out. And brought you to 500 in fantasy basketball, too.
Yes, sir. Hey, Saints, I took it high again.
Saints Pelicans 23 holding down first place in fantasy basketball with a 39-15-2 record. That's Ronald right here from the New Orleans area holding down first place. So we winding down in fantasy football, fantasy basketball cranking up, of course. Yeah. And we certainly appreciate everyone playing. We still got some fun stuff coming up as the season go along. I think JQ going to get a baseball fantasy league for us this coming baseball season.
No, you got it. I'll do that.
We thought you were going to, like, run that, JQ, that's all.
Oh, no, I got you. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I got
right. you. Good
deal.
All right, all right. Gentlemen, we got about 4 minutes, so I'd like to spend about 2 minutes talking about the Heisman recap. We want to save all of the OT portion for some bowl game predictions because we got quite a few. I don't think we can fit them in into the live portion. But
the bowl and weed eat a bowl.
Oh boy, I love it. Real quick, guys, that's funny. I want to talk about this because Heisman recap, gentlemen. Obviously, Derrick Henry won the Heisman. I wanted to get your thoughts, gentlemen, because obviously we thought this was going to be good, even though some votes were kind of held as far as with McCaffrey making a strong run. But I want to get your thoughts as far as Derrick Henry on the next level. I know, Rob, we talked about this for the draft recap, but this is interesting because I heard a lot of different things as far as, you know, this him being split as far as him being a potential first-rounder, even going second and third round, because you have some different people as far as where he's going to be at. So what is your thoughts about that? I'm going to start with you, Rob, and if we get to JQ, then we'll go to the two-minute warning, too. Is Derrick Henry going to be a pretty good player at the next level? I know it's hard to predict. What are your thoughts about him and the Heisman recap?
Well, you know, if you look at his draft stock right here, I mean, he could go as low as the fourth round in the draft, believe it or not. And, you know, a guy, you got to think about running backs now in the NFL. They just devalue. And, I'm going to use my Saints for an example here. You lose Mark Ingram here for the season. You bring a guy like Tim Hightower off the street. He comes in and rushes for 85 yards. We didn't have too many games where Mark Ingram was giving you that kind of yard. I mean, that just goes to show you the value of running backs has just been devalued by the NFL. I mean, you can get guys in low rounds and still be effective. So you're not going to see teams, you know, spend a lot of high draft choices. I mean, you did see Ty Gurley get picked in the first round in the past year. And, of course, he's having a phenomenal year ever since he came back for the Rams. But teams are just not going to spend high draft choices on running backs, which is, you know, amazing to see a guy like this win the Heisman. And he could go anywhere between – he won't be a first-round pick unless he comes back. Then, you know, the thing he's going to have to show, can he block? And also, can he catch the ball out of the backfield? But as far as a pure downhill runner, you're not going to find many coming out of this draft that's better than him.
30 seconds, JQ, 30 seconds.
Yeah, and it looks like to me that they just all watched the, you know, last conference games and then both because you've got the last three finalists all being in there. And I don't know. I think Derrick Henry is going to be at least a second-round pick. I think as you get in there, his message will check out. He seems like a quality young guy. He reminds me a lot of Eddie George. And if you can get that kind of production, if you get 80% of Eddie George's production out of Derrick Henry, you will have had something in Derrick Henry. So I didn't go second round, but I thought he was going to win all the way. But I thought that McCaffrey definitely closed the gap a lot closer than I thought he was going to going into the final bowl game.
A minute, Rob.
And one last note that I'll just share with as far as NFL drafts, they are very concerned with the amount of mileage that Nick Saban has been putting on him with the number of carries that he's been having. And that's a huge concern with NFL scouts right at the moment.
50 seconds. Go, Rob. OT.
OT portion, next week we'll be on the air. Probably won't be Monday night, so stay tuned. Of course, my beloved Saints are going to be playing on Monday night, so we may do a different night on next
beloved.
Week. So stay tuned. We're probably leaning toward Tuesday night on next week, but you don't want to miss it. We're winding down to the end of the NFL regular season. We still got bowl games coming up. We're getting closer to our Final Four in the college football. So you want to stay tuned for that and our coverage of covering those games. So once again, stay tuned next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
JQ.
Hey, stay classy, San Diego.
Gentlemen, we are officially to the OT portion. That was the quickest one that I've ever been in, man, because we were talking too much about the Heisman. Thanks about that. Robert Ford. I try to spend as much time as we can dedicated to all of these bowls that you put up. I'm not mad. I'm just impressed that you're able to put them all in. Let's just do this. All right, first and foremost, the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. Alcorn State versus, what is it, North Carolina AT&T. Go, Rob.
Well, this is the bowl game. This is the first year for this bowl game of course, the HBCU. So the MEAC champion versus the SWAC champion. Of course, I'm a little bit, you know, being down in Louisiana, familiar with the SWAC and Southern and Grambling and things like that, and Alcorn State right down the road, too. Alcorn State, of course, has a serious passing attack, and I expect them to win this football game and beat NCA&T.
What do you think about this, JQ? Back in the day, pulling, what is it, McNair, Air McNair, back in those days? Go ahead.
Yeah, they still got a passing attack.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
I'm going to go with the opposite of it because I'm a Florida A&M Rattler, and I live in the Southeast, and I'm going to go with the MEAC. I'm going to go with those Aggies just because. No other reason.
MEAC!
And the game's right there in Atlanta, too.
Yes, sir.
There
all of course.
The Glidden New Mexico Bowl, Arizona versus New Mexico. You want to kick it off, Jake, or you want to Rob to do this, man?
I'm going to go with Rich Rod in Arizona over New Mexico. I know that's basically a home ball for them, but I'm going to go with Rich Rod. I think Arizona's got a lot of talent. They competed this year, and, you know, it's just still hard for them to do to catch up with the USCs and the Stanfords and the Oregons of the world. So I'm going to go with Arizona in that Pac-12 pedigree.
Rob Ford.
I like Arizona, too. Arizona's had a lot of injuries. As JQ mentioned, they're a very talented team. They've just been bitten by injuries this season. And I think they're going to show you that they're better than their 6-6 record. They're getting their star middle linebacker back, Scooby Wright, who's one of the better linebackers in the country prior to getting hurt. And so I expect them to win this game.
Scooby Wright, the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, a.k.a. the Mormon Bowl. You got BYU versus Utah. This is an interesting matchup, gentlemen. What do you think about this, Rob?
Well, hey, this is a rivalry game. You're talking about I've spent a lot of time in Salt Lake City. These two schools don't really like each other. They could have just played that in somebody's backyard in Salt Lake City as opposed to going to Las Vegas. Obviously, Utah is very upset they didn't get a chance to contend for that Pac-12 title and go to the Rose Bowl. They got off to a quick start this season playing phenomenal football. So they're a little hungry for this game. I think they're a better team. I think they beat Utah. I mean, they beat BYU, I'm sorry.
JQ.
Agreed. Utah. He's a better team. They play tougher competition. And I know sometimes you can throw that out in a rivalry game. It's amazing you get a rivalry game that big in a bowl game.
Yep.
But I still think Utah's got too much talent to lose yet. And that's very rare.
I agree. The Raycom Media Camilla Bowl, Ohio versus Appalachian State. My Northerners. JQ, let's kick it off with you, sir. What do you think about this one?
You know, I'm going with Frank Zolich and the Ohio Bobcats. That real quiet, like, that MAC conference is very talented and very deep as well. And there's going to be some teams that run into those MAC teams into the bowl games and be in for a fight that they weren't really expecting. I'm going to go with the MAC. They play a lot of those games against the Big 12 and the Big 10. I'm going to go with the MAC. I think they're battle-tested.
Wow, good call. Rob Ford, does Appalachian State have any more magic in there pulling off the ultimate upset? Are they going to pull us off here? What do you think about this matchup?
Real quick, I got a trivia question for y'all for the MAC conference. Can y'all name the player who was nicknamed the Shaq of the MAC? Y'all remember Gary Trent?
Wow. The MAC of Ohio.
Gary Trent. I think he played at Ohio, too.
Yeah,
Gary
Ohio,
Trent.
Yeah, he's
nicknamed the Shaq of the MAC, man. I thought JQ would know that.
No, I don't follow the Bobcats that close.
Nicknamed the Shaq of the MAC when he was in college.
The Shaq of the MAC.
But anyway, getting back to the game here. I like Appalachian State in this game. I agree with JQ with the MAC conference. They put out some really good football players in that conference, and they play some good football. But I like Taylor Lamb, the sophomore quarterback for Appalachian State. He's been getting it done running and passing. They got a pretty potent offense. I like Appalachian State.
Rob's got jokes, and he's got trivia. I love it.
Shaq of the Mac.
Shaq of the Mac. The Cure Bowl, guys, San Jose State versus the upstart Georgia State Panthers, who put a whipping on Georgia Southern. Trent Miles doing his thing at Georgia State. JQ, what do you think about this one, Ron? I'll let you kick off this one.
I'm just going to go with Georgia State because I'm here in Atlanta. They have a really good up-and-coming program, and I want them to win more than I know more about both of the programs. I'm going to go with Georgia State just off that. At this point, some of these are the
Trent Miles.
Georgia State.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob. I love it, Rob.
I like Georgia State, too. I think they're going to be pretty motivated. First time to school, going to a bowl game down in Orlando in the Cure Bowl of all bowls. But I like Georgia State.
Cure Bowl. I'm trying to go back and forth, guys, so I can try to kick it off so I can, you know, I was trying to time this perfectly to have the RNL Carrier New Orleans Bowl just for Rob to kind of kick this off. Arkansas State versus Louisiana Tech. What do you think about this, Rob?
Hey, I like La Tech. Y'all remember the name Jeff Driscoll? He used to be the quarterback down in Florida. He's a quarterback at Louisiana Tech, doing a phenomenal job there. La Tech and Skip Holtz, of course. They were having a very good season this year up until they got beat pretty bad by Southern Miss. I think they're a better football team than what they showed there. So I like Louisiana Tech to win this game.
Real quick, Rob, that player you had us to watch a couple weeks ago, wasn't he the running back for La Tech, or was that another school in Louisiana? I want to say it was La Tech.
Yeah, running backs, but they are a pretty potent offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with La Tech.
same thing, yeah, La Tech. The Miami Beach Bowl, Western Kentucky at the Hilltoppers at the South Florida. Rob? Yeah, I don't know.
Western Kentucky, I actually got a chance to see this team play a couple times this year. And I saw him against LSU. And Brandon Daughtry, this guy is a heck of a quarterback, threw over 4,000 yards, completed 72.5% of his passes, over 40 TDs. I mean, they got a high-powered offense. I like Western Kentucky in this game.
And I actually do, yeah, and I actually agree with him on that one. I know that's going to be hard for them. That's basically a road game against South Florida. But agreed. And I watched some of that game against LSU. They have a really good offense, and they played as well as they could play defensively against LSU as well. I think they win that game against South Florida and Florida. I like the Hilltoppers.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. The Zips from Akron versus Utah State. Rob, kick us off.
I like Utah State. They got a veteran quarterback, fifth year, senior year, Chucky Keaton. He's getting the job done. Utah State has been there. I think it's quite a few years in a row they've gone to a bowl game. I like their experience. I like them to win this game.
I just give Rob credit for even knowing what the French toast does Rob know about this. Awesomeness. Hey, how about that? The Marmot Boca Raton Bowl, Toledo versus Temple. Same thing, Rob. I have no clue on this one. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Temple. Of course, I mean, they beat Penn State this year. They were in the ball game to the end of it against Notre Dame. Of course, Houston beat them pretty bad in the championship game in their conference. But I think Temple bounces back and they win this game.
Agreed. I think Temple, given that Conference USA schedule and playing Notre Dame, they are more battle-tested, and I feel like they'll get there and be able to do a better job. When, you know, some of these games where you feel like it's a toss-up, that those teams that have been battle-tested and have been in big games before, they know how to rise to the occasion. So I'm going to go with Temple as well.
Very disappointed there's no Tax Slayer Bowl, man. That's all I got to say, guys. Very disappointed about this. The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, Boise State at – I know, man. Your mama, daddy, cousin, uncle, bull. No, Boise State versus Northern Iowa. You got to go Northern Iowa. That's what I'm thinking. But I don't know. Rob, what do you think about this one?
I like Northern Illinois. I mean, this is another one of those programs that's been very successful for a lot of years now, quietly putting together a nice program. I like them even against Boise State, who's also – had a nice history here in the last 10 years, but I like Northern Illinois in this game.
JQ?
Absolutely. Northern Illinois, I told you those MAC teams are very tough. If you remember, Northern Illinois gave Ohio State everything they wanted in Columbus. And,
I'm going
to go back to that, you know, those battle-tested teams playing those bigger teams and hanging with them gives them the confidence when they play in a bowl game against somebody else that they can come out victorious. And I think that's going to be the proof of difference for Northern Illinois.
Gentlemen, we've got 5 minutes. The second shortest bowl, GoDaddy Bowl behind Cure Bowl. You got Northern Southern versus Bowling Green. Rob, what's about this one?
I like Bowling Green. I like quarterback Matt Johnson, 68.9% completion rate, close to 4,500 yards passing, 41 TDs and only 6 INTs. They've had a phenomenal job throwing the football, as you can see by those numbers. I like Bowling Green.
JQ.
I like Georgia Southern. Anytime you get that triple option against teams that are not necessarily used to seeing it, even if you face a spread, that's not the same as that triple option offense. And Georgia Southern, remember, gave Georgia everything they wanted in Athens. And those teams that play bigger teams that play them tough, I like their ability to overcome in a bowl game. So I'm going to go with them as well, Georgia Southern.
Well, one concern with me about Georgia Southern, too, their head coach just took the job at Tulane. So you just have to wonder about the continuity there when those kind of things happen, too.
Sure.
Interesting. All right. The Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. Popeyes Bahama Bowl. Middle Tennessee versus Western Business. I can't even say it, Craig. I'm trying to, like, I'm laughing.
Popeyes from New Orleans. How they sponsoring the bowl in Bahamas?
I know, man. That's why I couldn't get that one. That's why I was like, did I read that correctly? Rob, go ahead, sir.
Well, I like Western Michigan in this game. I think it kind of goes back to what JQ's been saying about the MAC. I think they'll be a tough football team to beat down there. I like Western Michigan.
JQ.
Nothing more to add. Exactly. Western Michigan.
Whatever we said. So let's wrap it up. We got through all of them. The Hawaii Bowl, San Diego State at Cincinnati. Rob.
I like Cincinnati. I think Tom Tuberville will have that team tested and ready to play. And I think they're a little bit better than what their record showed this year, 7-5.
JQ.
Was there any question who I was going to pick? I'm picking Cincinnati.
I had a feeling that was coming. I was
Homer.
It should have been much better. And Cincinnati. JQ, Cincinnati.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. 3 minutes, gentlemen. All right, really quickly, I want to talk. Really, we got a minute, literally, 30 seconds each. Sad about, or for your respect about Pete Rose, the Major League Baseball denies reinstatement. They're going to, like, keep him out. Rob, really quick, what are your thoughts about that, sir?
Well, you know, the Major League, you know, what they keep going back to is, you know, he kept gambling after he got suspended or banned from the game. And I think at some point, you know, you just got to let the man back in my opinion. I mean, I know that was years ago. I know from my understanding he has stopped gambling now, but Major League Baseball keep going back to, well, when we did kick you out of the league, you still kept gambling at that point. But now, I mean, from my understanding, he stopped, and I think you got to let him play. I think you got to give him a second chance, in my personal opinion.
Thank you. This is America.
Yeah, well, you know, this is home for me, but I've always thought, just because of the way he lied about it and dug himself into a hole that he didn't need to dig himself into, that they were never going to let him in while he was alive. So I'm not surprised by this. Nothing has really changed since he's been suspended. He's still Pete. He's still living his life. But I never thought they would let him in while he was alive. I thought it was always the posthumous when he would get let in. So not surprised.
That's probably going to happen. Gentlemen, it's been a fun time sharing the field of battle with you. Rob, 2 minutes, set it up for the OT. Or excuse me, for the end of the show, then we'll get it ready for next week.
Next week, we'll be back on Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll get closer to the big name bowls next week, but, you know, we have to get these out before next week's show. so stay tuned for that. Of course, we're getting close to the stretch run here in the NFL. We'll be having a lot to talk about here in the next couple of weeks, so definitely join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. our friends in California. Good night, people. We'll look for you next week.
JQ. JQ, end it for us, sir.
Thank you, as always, people listening to us. Call in, talk to us. We enjoy your feedback. Appreciate you downloading the podcast. Like Rob said, we'll get to the bigger bowls as it moves forward to it. Hopefully, my AJ McCarron, Let's Go Mobile, can bring my Bengals back. appreciate y'all. Love you. Talk to you next week.
Gentlemen, I'm disappointed as a Falcon fan, but it's okay, man. I'm going to need you guys next week to kind of be my muse, man, because it's been a rough season, man. So, anyway, that's all I got to say.
Same thing for my Saints, man. We're in the same boat.
Hey, I was in Charlotte for that ridiculousness, so